Canty and Golic Jr., the podcast.
For one day, and everybody gets fired. Canty and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. Guests are going to join us on the Goodyear Hotline. Mike Golic Jr. and Chris Canty. I should say everyone in the NFL gets fired. Chris, you and I are still here and good as far as I know.
Yeah, I think so. Do we need to check in with the higher-ups with the suits just to make sure? I mean, because it kind of feels like with what you just said, we could be in a situation like Joe Judge finds himself with the New York Giants.
Yeah, you know what? I feel like this is one of those spots, Chris, where I would rather just say nothing and assume the best rather than go and rock the boat at all on this one, right? We're in a good spot. We don't need to mess anything up.
Yeah, so what you're saying is you're not going to the higher-ups and asking to have a say when it comes to your general manager.
No. I am not going to try and flex power that I don't have. Like one Joe Judge with the New York Giants, who we can get to because, man, back today I was at Indianapolis this weekend for the college football playoff national championship, and we know after that final weekend in the NFL, all of the firings that tend to go on, we've now got six jobs open in the NFL and plenty of time to try and digest this going forward because still some really head-scratching decisions made yesterday and more of those head-scratches continue with the Giants, but Chris, the reason I missed so much of that is because of what we saw last night in college football. Georgia went ahead and did it. 33-18, the Georgia Bulldogs get a win over that Alabama team that we were all really scared to pick against at various points for various reasons, mostly named Nick Saban here. Like, Chris, I was out there in person, and we can get to some of the stuff I saw on the ground there, but for you, watching this game, when was the point where it started to feel real to you? Because I feel like we all kind of kept waiting for the other shoe to drop on this one, not only because it's Alabama, but equal parts because Georgia and the state of Atlanta have that reputation for famous flameouts on a big stage.
Well, it was that second touchdown drive that Georgia had in the fourth quarter. You know, the one where Zamir White got it going. I mean, I understand why they nicknamed him Zeus. That guy is an absolute stud, but he kind of was the catalyst for that drive, being able to have that physical presence. You saw the offensive linemen diving over piles, trying to impose their will on that defensive front from Alabama. And then when Phil Mathis went out with the injury to his shoulder, you kind of knew that the tide was turning, no pun intended, and that Georgia was taking control of that game. And then to cap that off, right after the DPI on Alabama's corner, you had that TD pass to Brock Bowers on that screenplay, and that was the moment where it was like Georgia had finally exercised that demon. Kirby Smart was finally able to get over the hump that was Nick Saban. The pick six by Kylie Ringo was just the icing on top of the cake, but I think that second touchdown drive by the Georgia offense in the fourth quarter ultimately was what the difference was in that game, and I think that was the moment when I realized that we were going to have a new national championship. New national champion in the University of Georgia.
Yeah, Chris, I'm with you because that was the spot coming off of what I thought in that moment. I was so worried that this game that we had, a real throwback game, I mean, 9-6 at halftime, felt like the SEC of my time in college here back in the early 2010s. We get to the third quarter, and all of a sudden you have what looked like it could have been the game-changing play, right? What we thought was an incomplete pass that's ruled a fumble on the field, recovered by Jordan Battle, that Alabama takes and turns into points. And that was the moment I have a feeling every Georgia fan out there all of a sudden looked up and said, here we go again. Because we talked about the mental hurdle that they had to clear in this game, the demons they had to slay. I had a chance, Chris, to talk to Nicole Arbach from The Athletic, great college football writer over there, who was in that 2018 locker room with the Georgia Bulldogs when they lost to Alabama in the CFP off the last-second heroics of Tua Tagovailoa. And she said it was eerie silence punctuated by loud thuds, guys hitting locker rooms, the sound of guys getting emotional in that locker room because of what they had lost. And so Kirby Smart, Georgia's head coach, now national championship head coach at his alma mater, talked with our Molly McGrath after the game just about this in comparison to that moment from 2018.
That one will be with me for a long time, but this one will be with me for much longer. I'm proud of the University of Georgia, the support we get there. A lot of credit to Alabama, Coach Saban. They had a lot of injuries. You know, they lost Jameson Williams in a tough situation, but our kids kept fighting and never doubted.
Canty and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio. He also, Chris, mentions that name, Jameson Williams, the star receiver for Alabama, over 1,500 yards receiving this season for the Crimson Tide. he was lost in the second quarter of this game. John Metchie, we know their other 1,000-yard receiver, was lost in the game in the SEC championship where these two teams played. How big a difference did that make in your mind and how this one went, Chris, losing Jamison when they did in the middle of the second?
I thought that was huge for them because they lost that vertical element in their passing game. You saw that Alabama struggled to find some consistency with their young receivers. Like A.G. Hall just didn't seem up to the task, holding as well. Like those guys, even though they're extremely talented, they weren't necessarily ready for the big stage when the lights were the brightest. Brooks, another one, he had a critical drop at the end of that game when Bama was driving. So you just look at those moments, those instances, and you wonder whether or not it could have been a little bit different had Jamison Williams been available for him. I thought that was a huge loss for them. But, Gojo, I think another part of the story of this game was how good Georgia's defense was in the red zone, just their ability to be able to bow up. Now, you mentioned the touchdown to Latu in the fourth quarter off of the Stetson Bennett fumble. But, I mean, outside of that, you had red zone trips by the Alabama Crimson Tide, and they had to settle for field goals rather than scoring touchdowns because of how stout that Georgia defense was. So I got to give credit where credit is due. Those guys stepped up in a big-time way, and their athleticism and their speed on the defensive side of the ball I felt like was on display all night.
It was a unit that flew around and was every bit of what we had seen the entire season, that unit that got embarrassed in that game they played in the SEC championship game. So I'm with you. They deserve a ton of credit for that, Chris, the way they were able to respond in that situation. I think the game could have looked a lot different without Jamison Williams, but those are things we're going to get to suppose. Georgia went out and won the damn thing here, Chris, and they won it with a walk-on, a former walk-on in Stetson Bennett, the fourth at quarterback. We know that's going to be such a large part of the story of all this, Chris, but I think for me, like, being there for this game, it felt cathartic, right? Georgia fans crying everywhere. They were grossly outnumbering Alabama fans inside Lucas Oil, around Indianapolis that weekend. They were here for this moment. And Chris, while it's great, this is a generational, once-in-a-lifetime thing. 41-year drought between championships. Herschel Walker's Georgia team was the last one to go and hoist this trophy for the Bulldogs. I also don't think this changes a whole lot near the top of college football, right? Georgia on paper was one of the most, if not the most talented teams since we've started doing star rankings in the sport's history. They've been knocking on the door for a while here. Alabama was showed, all right, with all your great depth, there is still a point where it's too much, and we saw that happen with their skill players here. So, Chris, I look at this and say, this felt like a once-in-a-lifetime thing for Georgia. I was kind of reminded this is like a once-a-year thing for Alabama. They're going to be the favorites. I think they're already the preseason favorites for next year, according to the Vegas oddsmakers, to get back here. I genuinely thought, Chris, looking around, seeing the lack of Alabama fans relative to the number of Georgia fans there, I wonder if they looked ahead and said, oh, well, you know what? The title's in Los Angeles next year. Might make a little bit better vacation in January if we want to save up and go for that one. It was legitimately a thought that crossed my mind because they've done this so much, and they can expect that because that's what we're all going to expect next year, too. I don't know how much this changes other than buys Kirby Smart now a ton of grace at a place where maybe pressure was going to start to mount.
Well, I think the other thing it does for Kirby Smart is it changes the perception of who he is as a coach. And yeah. I think that there are also going to be prep players in the high school ranks that look at Georgia as a live dog and having an opportunity to compete for a national title because, quite frankly, we haven't seen that in our lifetime. Like, it's crazy to think that, but we haven't seen Georgia win a national championship in our lifetime. So there's a whole generation or there's generations of elite-level athletes that were waiting to see whether or not Kirby Smart was going to be able to put it all together with all of the talent that he amasses every single year at Georgia. And the fact that they finally were able to do it, the fact that he was finally able to beat Nick Saban head-to-head, I think that is going to change things in terms of the perception of what kind of coach he is and vault him into the upper echelon in college football. Now, that being said, I fully expect Alabama under Nick Saban to compete for championships every single season, and this just happens to be the one-off, the one year where they end up coming up short in the biggest game.
Yep, they come up short. Georgia able to complete the task, though. Nick Saban now only has two career losses to his former assistant coaches. Both of them have come in this season. Jimbo Fisher in Texas A&M earlier in the year, and Georgia getting it done. They are your 2021 22 college football playoff national champions.
We want maybe Kirby Smart can get himself a quarterback now that he's won a national championship.
Well, see, this is the thing here, because what I think we've done is we have reinforced Kirby's kink. This guy likes to go after quarterbacks that are just comparatively lesser talents than the ones he could otherwise have in that spot. We saw this happen with Jake Fromm and Justin Fields. We've seen it happen again with Stetson Bennett. And Chris, now he's got all the ammo he needs to go out here and say, I know what the hell I'm doing. I don't need one of your fancy, upscale, mobile, talented quarterbacks. I can go ahead and win me titles with Stetson Bennett IV gritting it out there, getting ready to sling used cars in the greater Athens area for the remainder of his life. He's going to be fantastic. Now, we want to hear from you on that, dogs. Be a part of Candy and Golic Junior Nation on the Dr. Pepper call-in line, 888-SAY-ESPN. That's 888-729-3776. ESPN Nation's presented by Dr. Pepper. College football season is over. The fans are celebrating a Bulldogs victory. Return to glory with Fansville by Dr. Pepper, the one fans deserve. I am still hearing barking in my ears. Coming up next, we will try and figure out how much this could change going forward here, how we contextualize this, and what the best thing we saw from the national championship was last night. We'll get to that after this word from Body Armor. All right, guys, let Body Armor Light help you achieve your fitness goals this year. Body Armor Light's the low-calorie sports drink, hydrating your active lifestyle. It's got flavors like berry punch, coconut. It's got no artificial sweeteners, no sugar added, and only 20 calories per 16-ounce bottle. Athletes like Diana Taurasi, Donovan Mitchell, and Megan Rapinoe all use Body Armor Light to stay hydrated. So why not give it a try? From now until April 30th, you buy $20 of any Body Armor product, and you're going to earn $10 in fitness cash towards select fitness retailers nationwide. Learn more at bacommittofit.com. That's bacommittofit.com.
Out of the gun, Young. Takes an inside handoff to Robinson. Throws to the near side. Intercepted at the 21-yard line. And Keely Ringo bringing it back across midfield. Across the 30. Inside the 20. Ringo scores! The Georgia Bulldogs lead by 2 scores with 54 seconds to go. Fittingly, it'll be the defense that puts it away.
That the call from ESPN Radio. It is Canty and Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio. Mike Golic Jr., Chris Canty. It's time for Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. As we welcome in best college football writer doing it, SEC Network analyst, the co-host of Thinking Out Loud, Spencer Hall joins us now. Spencer, as you hear and relive that Keely Ringo pick six and the images of Kirby Smart jumping up and down on the sideline, begging him to go down instead of taking this back to the house, was there anything less likely than him actually giving in to his coach's wishes there?
Yeah, no. You were stopping him. Like, they could have, honestly, you could have had law enforcement out there. You could have had professionals with trank dart, net, guns, whatever you needed, right, in order to try to dissuade this person. He was not. You could have put a wall between him. He was going to score. And I love that, because I love moments in college football like that where the players take over. You know, we talk a lot about Kirby Smart. We talk a lot about legacy. I like that Keely Ringo dictated that moment. I like that he decided, I'm getting six. Sorry. And ultimately, it didn't matter, right? Like, I don't want Kirby Smart in charge of that, to be honest, because he's a defensive coach. Defensive coaches worry. They like to punt the ball and let their defense win. Would that have won last night? Yeah, I think that would have won. Is it nicer that he had that point, those points in that lead? Yeah. So, good on Keely Ringo. What an astonishing moment to close that game out.
Spencer, in your mind, what was the moment when Georgia started to seize control of that game? Because it seemed like in the first half, largely, Alabama was playing their brand of football, but something happened in the second half. I'm just curious, from your perspective, when was the moment that it changed and the game started to go in Georgia's favor?
I think the game started to go in Georgia's favor after Stetson Bennett fumbled. And that sounds odd, but the way they recovered and then the way that they put the clamps on Bryce Young and gave him absolutely no options downfield and pressured him and got him uncomfortable in the pocket. That turn in the game is where it happened. I know, like, people should give Stetson Bennett all the credit in the world for going 4 for 4 after that, hitting the two passes that really decided the game, and then setting the tone for what would be the game-sealing INT The defense just altered terms of engagement, like play after play after play. Every single snap, they were on Bama, and they did not relent. I know people might point to the injuries. I don't care. Go look at the stars. Go look at the numbers on that depth chart, right? If you take out their top two receivers, everyone they've got is still awesome, and Georgia managed to match up against that. So, yeah, I think that's the point where the game turned.
Spencer Hall with us on the Goodyear Hotline here on Canty and Golic Jr. Spencer, I know you are a massive N'Kobe Dean fan, the star linebacker for the Georgia Bulldogs. And now that they got revenge on this Alabama team that was really the first to challenge them in the SEC championship game, how do you contextualize them all time, what we saw from that Georgia defensive unit this year?
Whatever nice things you want to say about them, plus a couple more that you didn't think of. This is the best defense I've seen, the best starting 11, the best top to bottom, the best in terms of playing multiple types of opponents and effects. I don't know what else you want to say about them. They had a bad game. Great teams get bad games. And even then, they were doing it against a full-strength Alabama at the very end of the season when everybody is the most tired and you're going to see the most mistakes. To me, there really isn't a comparison. And we'll find that out come NFL draft time, which is the next big game on the schedule, by the way, for these guys. We talk about legacies. We talk about wins. All of this stuff on the field is nice. Kirby Smart said something that was very telling, saying that other teams were 11 days ahead of them on the recruiting schedule thanks to the national title game. We think it's all about the games. In the back of their mind, it is about recruiting and then selling how this program can get you to the next level. So it's nice to win a title. Yeah, that changes the calculus in terms of what kind of a coach we think Kirby Smart might be and where this defense might sit historically. The big thing is coming up in the NFL draft, because that's going to help them sell forward, because the most convincing thing you can have for an elite athlete is to say, we put you in the league.
And Spencer, to that point, how does this win for Kirby Smart affect how prep players, high school players look at Georgia as a program?
You know, I think it's a margin. You know, like we're talking between Georgia and Alabama, we're talking about two aristocrats at this point. We're talking about people who, in terms of football bucks, in terms of the credit they got at the bank, to quote Ric Flair, it is unlimited, brother. Okay? You can take whatever you want out of the bank and they will give it to you. But it's a margin. When you're talking about elite athletes going up with Alabama or Georgia for a recruiting pitch, if I am hemming or hawing and I look, and I go, well, I'm probably going to go to the league if I go there. And then if I do my part, I'm probably going to the league if I go there. What's going to be the difference? Well, the difference is going to be, how close am I to home? And if that's equal, who's going to send me to the league with a better shot? If Georgia can get that, and historically, by the way, even before Kirby Smart got there, Georgia put tons of dudes in the league. Mm-hmm. It's just that they weren't performing on the field. Well, now that you're performing on the field, now that you're winning titles, to me, that's a coin flip, and it's just going to come down to comfort, fit, and frankly, how much money you're going to make when you're there, all right, through NIL. That's another thing that programs really have to sell. That's the part I can address. I can tell you, right, by the numbers, where they are on the field. I can tell you where they're going to be in the draft. I can tell you that they're probably going to be top five next year. What I can't do are start adding up all of the other little things off the field that are going to add up to get you in there. In my mind, they're on par, and Georgia might even have a slight lead right now. Because go look at the recruiting rankings. They've been getting them for years. This has been coming.
It's been a lot of change. And as you mentioned, that next foray of how the NIL money starts to creep into all of this, as some of the powers that be in college football have changed leadership over the last few months here, going to be fascinating to watch going forward. Make sure you guys read Spencer Hall. Check him out, the Shutdown Fullcast, wherever you get your podcasts. And, of course, co-hosting Thinking Out Loud on the SEC Network with Richard Johnson. Spencer, we always appreciate the time, my friend. Have a good one.
Thank you, Mike. Thank you, Chris.
Straight Talk Wireless, no contract, no compromise. As Spencer said, those are the aristocrats of college football. Those are caviar problems that you are going to deal with if you are at Georgia and Alabama. Coming up next, let's try and solve problems from an organization that is trying to get back to some of the caviar problems that it used to have. That is next here, Canty and Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus.
This is ESPN Radio.
Canty and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio. Mike Golic Jr. and Chris Canty. We're presented by Progressive Insurance and brought to you by Goodyear, helping you discover the road ahead. Goodyear, more driven. Chris, I just got back from Indianapolis today, the college football playoff national title. Georgia wins. I was not prepared for just how much barking the Georgia fans did. Like, I know we love L. Duncan, who comes around here all the time from SportsCenter, who's always barking and supporting the dogs, but, like, you know in the crowd when you go, like, somewhere and it would be, like, Pat Freiermuth catches a pass for the Steelers and you hear, "Muth," and the announcer goes, "Those aren't boos, they're muse." Like, these weren't boos. These were tens of thousands of adults barking at 18 to 23-year-old kids. I wasn't. It's still ringing in my ear right now. It's incredible.
I know. Plus, you heard the zoos when Zamir White was getting the ball, too. Like, it was on and popping in Lucas Oil Stadium for the Georgia Bulldogs fans. Like, you know, they usually tell you celebrate like you've been there. Well, it was clear they hadn't been on that stage in a while, and they were going to take full advantage of it and enjoy themselves. And then their team helped them out by actually finishing the drill and winning the national championship. So congrats to them. I know we got a lot of Georgia Bulldogs fans, including L. Duncan, that are part of the ESPN family. So this is their day to go ahead and peacock, and they should. They should absolutely enjoy it because it was a hell of a win for their team.
It was incredible. Kirby Smart quoted an old radio broadcaster for the Georgia Bulldogs when he said, "We're going to tear up some property tonight in Indy." And based on what I saw leaving the stadium last night, Chris, pray for Indianapolis this morning. The cleanup crews are going to have their work cut out for them. So congrats to Dogs fans on last night, your national champions in college football. But Chris, while all that was going on and I was off the show, you and Amber holding it down yesterday, we had the rash of firings in the NFL. And while the most surprising might go to Brian Flores being let go as the Miami Dolphins head coach, the most confusing situation going forward is still your former team, the New York Football Giants here, who have not let go of Joe Judge, but have seen Dave Gettleman, their GM, retire. And now we're hearing about Joe Judge potentially having influence over who the GM is, but maybe not, and maybe being safe, but maybe not. Like, Chris, how do we fix this? How are we supposed to sort through this mess right now if you're the New York Giants?
Fire everybody. That's how you fix it. Break out the brooms, clean sweep, get rid of everybody that had something to do with the last 2 years of New York Giants football. Because yes, it was an embarrassment, Gojo. It's awful. You're talking about a franchise that's had five consecutive double-digit loss seasons. So, yeah, we knew that Dave Gettleman was on his way out of the door. I'm just confused as to why Joe Judge wasn't on his way out with him. And that still might end up being the case. They still might fire Joe Judge depending on who they hire as their next general manager and who that individual wants to be his head coach. I just don't understand why they're trying to hold on to Joe Judge, a coach that has proven nothing in regards to whether or not he can do the job. His record is 10-23 as the head coach. And Gojo, he's 1-7 in their final eight games. It's an embarrassment. The consecutive quarterback sneaks at the end of the second quarter in a game against the Washington football team. That's inexcusable. You're at your five-yard line. It's 3rd and 9. And you just have a give-up play with the quarterback sneak? Don't even hand it off. It's a quarterback sneak. It's absolutely inexcusable. And that on the heels of what we saw the week before against the Chicago Bears, where Joe Judge, who has a background in special teams, has a kickoff returner, Farrell Cooper, that doesn't field the kickoff. The ball settles at the 2-yard line. The Giants end up getting safetied, and then that ends up being a 5-point swing for the Chicago Bears before halftime. That's an execution error. That is completely on the head coach, and that's why if you're John Mara, you really have no choice but to fire Joe Judge. You might have been on the fence a couple of weeks ago, but after the last two outings and the way your team ended the season and the complete incompetence of your offense, you have no choice but to move on from your head coach. It's clear that Joe Judge doesn't know what he's doing.
Yeah, I've realized now, listening to you lay it out, Joe Judge, towards the end of the season, gave off strong Baker Mayfield vibes in the way that this went, right? Where you could sell me that things behind the scenes had progressed in a way that was meaningful, but none of it leaked outside, and all we saw instead was someone who, in a situation where things went south, where there had been expectations, buckling under that pressure. Baker Mayfield talking about repairing relationships in the locker room, and now we've had Joe Judge going on 11-minute post-game tirades and all of this. And Chris, when you say fire everyone, this is why. Dominique Foxworth NFL analyst and writer for The Undefeated, was on Get Up and talked about if he was a prospective GM walking in to be interviewed by this team, exactly what his response would be.
If I'm a GM and I walk into a meeting and Joe Judge is sitting there, you know that Homer Simpson meme where he walks into the bar, hangs up his coat, and it turns around and walks right back out? I'm doing that joint. I think it's Homer's dad that does that. I'm going in and I'm coming right on out because I know this isn't the place for me.
Yeah, and Chris, that's really at the crux of all this, right? Is you and I have talked a lot about the Arizona Cardinals model for this, right? The way they went about it, the results we've seen here, because they decided to go ahead and build this with some synergy here. They let their GM pick the coach. They let the coach go in with the GM and decide who they wanted at quarterback, and they all move forward together. And when you put some of that out of joint, it just seems like you're setting everyone up for failure.
Well, here's the thing. That's the structure that the Giants would prefer, what you described with the Arizona Cardinals. The problem with that is that would be John Mara admitting that he made a mistake when it came to his evaluation of Joe Judge. And that's not something that John Mara has been, you know, known to do in recent. Like, it took him years to admit that he probably made a miscalculation with the 2018 season and drafting Saquon Barkley with the second overall pick rather than going with one of those quarterbacks because they didn't realize how close to the end Eli Manning was. It took them a couple of years before they were willing to admit it. It took them a little while before they were willing to admit it when it came to Ben McAdoo and Pat Shurmur. So it's not a surprise that he would want to try to hang on to Joe Judge and try to prove himself right in that regard when it came to his ability to be able to judge head coaches, no pun intended. But the reality is, based on the product that we're seeing on the field, it's an embarrassment. And I love what Warren Sharp did on Twitter on Sunday after the Giants game when you saw the juxtaposition of the introductory press conference that Joe Judge had where he said the team is going to play every play like it has a history and a life of its own, and then flashing toward the back-to-back quarterback sneaks in the second quarter when it's a three-point ball game. That to me is incredible how far the Giants have fallen. And when you have former players like Michael Strahan coming out saying that he need to clean house, like my former teammates on the defensive line, I think ownership has to get the message that this is not working, and it's gotten to the point now where you clearly don't know what you're doing. You need to bring in a fresh set of eyes, somebody that can be objective and fix the problems that you have so you can get back to having sustained success.
Yeah, Joe Judge needs to be nowhere near the process for bringing in a new GM for the New York Giants. And if you want to keep him around just as a courtesy so you could say, hey, it wasn't us punting on him. We wanted to empower our GM to make this decision. And that GM was told specifically, you do not have to keep this guy. You could justify it to me that way, but he has got to be nowhere near this because, like you said, Chris, that is not how healthy organizations function. And the Giants, who have been a proud franchise, a franchise you won a Super Bowl with, they got to get back to acting like a franchise that makes decisions in a way that's healthy and that allows this thing to have a fighting chance when you get to the season.
Gojo, real quick, what Dominique Foxworth said, I actually had a guy that's going to be interviewing in this general manager hiring cycle tell me a couple of weeks ago that if he was interviewed for the New York Giants job, there is no way on God's green earth that he would touch that job. This came from him. He's actually scheduled to be interviewed for a job this week. And he said that if he were considered for the Giants job, there is no way that he would want any parts of that job as long as Joe Judge was the head coach. So it ain't just Dom. It's actual people in NFL circles, people that are being considered for general manager positions that say they don't want Joe Judge to be their head coach.
Yeah, you know what? If we're going to continue to meme this situation, the Giants sounding more and more like the dog in the room on fire. Everything's fine. I'm fine. What is possibly wrong with this situation here? It's a lot. We'll continue to try and fix it. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776 is where you can get in touch with us on the Dr. Pepper call-in line. Coming up next, though, one coach claims it would be a travesty if this all-time great didn't collect one more piece of important hardware before the end of the season. We'll tell you who that was next here. Canty and Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio.
This is ESPN Radio.
Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio. Guests join us on the Goodyear Hotline. Mike Golic Jr. and Chris Canty. And we'll get back to some of what we saw last night. Did anything change in college football with the Georgia Bulldogs being able to slay the giant that is Alabama on the big-time stage? But, Chris, we also had something fall last night because now in the past year, we've had the Atlanta Braves go and win the World Series in Major League Baseball. The Georgia Bulldogs get this win. Like, the Atlanta area, the Georgia sports fan, had been one of those long-suffering fan bases that now got a major glow-up in this last year. And so we're trying to figure out, 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Now that we've seen Washington in the last couple of years, the Capitals and the Nats get a glow up, now that we've seen this happen for Atlanta here, who's the next fan base up that's been so beaten down for so long, has dealt with such long droughts without any of their teams getting a win that we could see the rest of the country rooting for? Because, Chris, if you didn't have a dog in the fight last night, I feel like a lot of people have tended to look at Atlanta and say, man, that's a fan base that kind of needs a win.
No, no doubt about it. And it goes back to that Super Bowl 51 loss that they had to the New England Patriots and Tom Brady, where they had a 28-3 lead going into the second half, and that was that epic collapse. And since that point, it hasn't felt like Atlanta sports has been able to get off the mat. Now, they've had some nice moments with the Atlanta Hawks and Trae Young, their young superstar. But being able to have the Braves win the World Series and now the Georgia Bulldogs step up, like, it feels like that Atlanta sports fan base, they've finally gotten past that now and they can have that deep exhale. But I think the sports fan base that is trying to get off the mat right now has got to be that Cincinnati sports fan base, Kojo. I mean, the Bengals haven't won a playoff game since 1991. I saw a meme on social media that said text messages were invented in 1992. So nobody has texted about the Cincinnati Bengals winning a playoff game ever. Like, it's never happened. And then the Cincinnati Reds now being one of the worst teams in the National League Central. So it's just one of those situations where, you know, you're hoping that that fan base is starting to get a little hope with Joe Burrow and the Bengals finally being able to get into the playoffs. And we'll see what they do this Saturday hosting a game against the Raiders.
Yeah, that's going to be interesting. We'll talk to Jordan Cornette, ESPN's premier Bengals fan, the co-host of Sports Nation with his wife, Shea Cornette. You can also hear them on ESPN Radio on the weekends. We'll see if they qualify here. Chris, the other one I was looking at, because I saw one of those charts about the last playoff appearance. I know New York's difficult because you got to kind of have it between the Ets side of things, the Mets, Jets, and Knicks fans versus the other side of things with the Yankees and the Giants, but the Jets haven't had a playoff appearance, I believe, since 2010. We know what the Knicks have been as of late here, really my entire basketball lifetime, and certainly the Mets have been a tire fire for the longest year. I wonder if that would qualify, if you can have New York since it's so big and has so many teams.
Well, here's what I will say. New York has a lot to look forward to, and I know you said the Mets have been really, really bad the last several years, but we got to remember they were in the World Series against the Royals in 2015. That's not that long ago. So it's just like there are a lot of things to look forward to when it comes to the New York sports landscape. It just so happens that none of them are the football teams, and that's probably the biggest problem. And as you mentioned with the Jets not being in the playoffs since 2010, I think we got to blame Bart Scott for that one, Mr. Can't Wait, because Jets fans can't wait for their team to get back into the postseason. And it's just one of those situations where it's all bad. But New York sports fans in general have a lot to look forward to with Kevin Durant being here, the Knicks making the playoffs last year, the Islanders and the Rangers, a lot of optimism on those fronts. So I don't think New York is one of them.
That is definitely a different addition to the Ets conversation now when you throw the Nets in there. Let's hear from you. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Don in Dallas, you're on Canty and Golic Jr. Which fan base do you think is the most beaten down?
Of course, Dallas. Although we got five Super Bowls, people talk so much crap. It's been so long. Your championships are dirty and dusty and all this stuff here. You got kids that haven't been born that haven't seen y'all go to the Super Bowl or playoffs and stuff like that. I'm tired of hearing it. You know, the Rangers haven't done anything. You know, the last championship here was what, the Dallas Stars?
So this is
the Mavs won in 2010,
yeah.
2011.
The Mavs, I mean, and which, again, like, I get that that's already kind of a long time ago, which is my own personal gripe with time, but I don't know of a place with the Dallas Cowboys and what they've meant in the NFL who have won all they did in the 90s gets to qualify in all this. Maybe I'm already thinking of the 90s as too close right now. That is a long time ago at this point, but doesn't feel like it fits.
No, it doesn't feel like it fits. You're right about that. And it seems like it's been a long time because when it comes to Dallas sports, Cowboys is the biggest deal out of all of them. And the fact that they haven't had a lot of moments where they could be proud of their team, like that's one of those things that the Dallas fans take to heart. So I can understand his frustration, but they aren't the most starved sports fan base when it comes to championships when we look at all the major markets across the country. It's just not.
So we want to hear from you again on that. The most starved fan base in the country now that Georgia has been off the schneid there. Coming up next, we'll head back to the NFL.
Thanks for listening to Canty and Golic Jr., the podcast. You can check the guys out live weekday afternoons at 4 Eastern on ESPN Radio and on ESPN+.